Psalm 38. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Your arrows have pierced me and your hand has come down on me. Because of your wrath, there is no health in my body. There is no soundness in my bones because of my sin. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly. I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long I go about mourning. My back is filled with searing pain. There is no health in my body. I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. All my longings lie open before you, Lord. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pounds. My strength fails me. Even the light has gone from my eyes. My friends and companions avoid me because of my wounds. My neighbors stay far away. Those who want to kill me set their traps. Those who would harm me talk of my ruin. All day long they scheme and lie. I am like the deaf who cannot hear, like the mute who cannot speak. I have become like one who does not hear, whose mouth can offer no reply. Lord, I wait for you. You will answer, Lord my God. For I said, do not let them gloat or exalt themselves over me when my feet slip. For I am about to fall, and my pain is ever with me. I confess my iniquity. I am troubled by my sin. Many have become my enemies without cause. Those who hate me without reason are numerous. Those who repay my good with evil lodge accusations against me, though I seek only to do what is good. Lord, do not forsake me. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly to help me, my Lord and my Saviour.
Father, we thank you for each and every psalm, each and every one of them given to your people, both in the old, under the old covenant and under the new. And as we look at this psalm, would you please show us Jesus Christ by your Holy Spirit and renew and strengthen our faith. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we're going to look at this psalm, Psalm 38, there on page 565. And as we look at this psalm, we are invited to spend time here in this psalm with a man who is deeply unwell. I don't know how sick you have ever been, how really unwell you have been. If you haven't ever been that sick, then I'm delighted for you. But many of us will have had some taste of what it is to feel ill. Maybe it's just a case of the proper flu when you are absolutely wiped out with a fever and sick. Maybe you've had an operation, major operation, and know what it is like to be in pain and to suffer. Well, as we go to David tonight and look at this psalm, we find him very unwell indeed. We have a sick David, a sick king. Verses 2 to 10 describe something of his physical suffering. Let me take you to his bedside for a moment. Let's go to that place where he was lying, where he was spending the time of his infirmity. And just feel with him how he must have felt. In verse 3, he speaks, because of your wrath, there is no health in my body. There is no soundness in my bones. The sense of his body failing, his bones aching, maybe it is joint pain that he's experiencing there. In verse 5, he speaks of his wounds festering. And what you think about that? There it is, some sort of open wound. Who knows what it is? Maybe just broken skin has broken down through infection. Maybe it is a wound of a knife attack or something like that. But his wounds are festering, infected, deeply unpleasant, I assure you. We see in verse 6 that he can barely stand. I am bowed down and brought very low. We sense here, barely able to get up. And in verse 7, he speaks of his pain. My back is filled with searing pain. It may not be the kind of middle of the back here, could be his loins, could be his kidney area here. But you can get the picture, can't you? It has left him feeling desperately weak. My heart pounds often when you're deeply unwell. You can feel your heart thumping within your chest, maybe beating fast, tachycardic with the illness. And his eyes feel faint, maybe dehydrated with everything. You can just imagine the doctor coming to this man in casualty and looking at him. No idea how old he is. They're writhing, these open wounds. Maybe he's lost a lot of weight. A really poor, sick, suffering man. How do you feel, David? How do you feel? Well, in pain, doctor. How do you feel in your spirits? Well, verse 8. I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. There's no reason, by the way, to think that David here is a whinger. This isn't a man with man flu looking for sympathy from his wife. This is not a man looking to keep out of work and inventing a load of symptoms. David is sick. We have a sick king here in this psalm. And I think this psalm invites us to feel it and to identify with it, even if we've never felt like this ourselves. David's sickness. What is the cause of David's sickness? What is going on? Well, David does not offer us any great medical insights or explanations, whether this is malignant or infectious or trauma or whatever. But David is very clear on what is at the heart of the matter, what is the cause of his sickness. And he knows that this sickness that he is experiencing has been inflicted on him by God because of his sin. Comes a number of points in the psalm. Verse 1, "Dear Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath." He wants this to go. "Your arrows have pierced me, your hands have come down on me. Because of your wrath, there is no health in my body. There is no soundness in my bones because of my sin." David sees a straight line here between his suffering, his sickness, and his sin. And in this state, we see verse 4, he feels absolutely burdened by his guilt. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. The memory of the sin, the guilt that he feels, he has this illness, and in his soul as well, he feels crushed by this sense of his sinfulness. And it may be actually that you do recognize that as you've come in tonight, that your sin weighs very, very heavily on you. You know you are guilty, and the burden of that sin is almost more than you can bear as you sit here tonight. So we see here, we have a king, coming back to the psalm, who is sick, and that there is a straight line between his sickness and his sin. We don't know the mechanism. We don't know exactly how this has worked out. But let's give David some credit. He thinks he knows exactly what has happened here. This is why it has happened to him. So sickness and sin. And we see as well that on top of this package, there is added suffering. Have his family and friends rallied round to this sick man? You would have thought, wouldn't you? There he is, struggling and suffering. Wherever the sick are looked after, how have his friends responded to this crisis of health and this agony of spirit? Well, look at verse 11. My friends and companions avoid me because of my wounds. My neighbors stay far away from me. They've texted him to say that they're not coming to see him, that they do not plan to come and visit. It seems that the main reason is the wounds. It may be because these wounds are in some way infected, and they just don't want to go anywhere near them. Thank you very much. I've got the kids to look after. I don't want to be catching anything nasty myself. But for whatever reason, not only does he have this sickness, not only does he have this sin and this overwhelming guilt, we see as well that David has, his friends have gone. He's been completely abandoned by them. And if that wasn't bad enough, his enemies, rather like sharks, sense that there's blood in the water. They realize that he is at a point of weakness, and they are gathering around him. You see that, don't you, particularly there in the second half of the Psalms. Verse 12, those who want to kill me set their traps. Those who would harm me talk of my ruin. All day long they scheme and lie. They are delighted. Those who would harm me talk of my ruin. There's a sense now that they're after him. But I'm like deaf. I am like the deaf who cannot hear, like the mute who cannot speak. I can't even engage with them. I can't defend myself against these people. He prays and he doesn't want them gloating. Verse 19, many have become my enemies without cause, those who hate me without reason. Those who repay my good with evil, verse 20, lodge accusations against me, though I seek only to do what is good. Yes, I've sinned, and I'm being disciplined for this sin. Yes, I've been abandoned, but these enemies are gathering and want to destroy me. I have only done them goods. But they, without reason, want to destroy me. They are out to get him. Can you see the picture that is being painted by in this psalm? Suffering because of sin, sin leading to that sickness, sin with that overwhelming sense of guilt, the abandonment by friends and the enemies circling round looking to destroy the king. We thought about sickness and sin and suffering. Of course, this psalm will speak of salvation. It is a wonderful psalm of salvation. The very beginning of the psalm is a plea to God to remove the rebuke and to remove the discipline, to stop what he is doing, remove his wrath, which has led to this awful situation. In verse 9, he pours out his longing. All my longings lie open before you, Lord, my sighings. He's gone to the Lord. He's put his life before him. He's crying out. Verse 15, he waits. Lord, I wait for you. You will answer me, Lord, my God. He has turned back to the only place from where he can receive help. That is back to God. He confesses his sin. Verse 18, I confess my iniquity. I am troubled by my sin. I know I've done wrong. This is causing such damage. Please forgive my sin. And he cries out all the way through the psalm at the end. Lord, verse 21, do not forsake me. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly to help me, my Lord and my Savior. Turning to God in this situation for salvation. What are we to do with this psalm? As we are allowed in by David to hear him pray, to hear about this sickness that has been caused by this sin, which has been compounded so much by all of this awful suffering. What are we to make? What reflections, what lessons can we draw from this psalm? Can I just draw one which I don't think is central to this psalm, but I think it's just worth doing. This evening you may be feeling very well. Good. It's a great psalm, isn't it, for just allowing us to have some insight into what it is to suffer, to be sick, to be isolated, to be lonely. Allow the psalms to let us into that world of the sick, of those who are feeling it's under God's discipline and all those difficulties. Secondly, of course, we need to think about the link between sin and suffering, between sin and sickness. And this psalm, along with a number of other psalms, forces us to think about that link, and we do need to engage with it. It's not the first time that we've encountered it on Sunday evenings as we worked our way through the psalms. And I just wanted to do it with you again, just think about it. Because we need to remember, don't we, that there are clear instances in the Bible where there is no connection between a particular sin and suffering. It's so important that we recognize that the Bible makes it clear that that may often be the case. In the book of Job, Job does not suffer because he sins. That's what his comforters want to say. But actually, we who know the story, Job is not suffering because of his sin. Absolutely clear. Clear case of that. In John chapter 9, with the man born blind, the disciples asked, who sinned, this man or his parents? There's just a simple straight line in their minds between sin and suffering. He says, no, that's not the case here with this blindness at all. Very often, suffering comes into our lives not because of particular sin. And we need to be absolutely aware of that. But there is, it seems here, a strong connection between David's sin and his sickness and his suffering. And there are instances in the New Testament where we will see that sort of link. You needn't turn with it to me, but in 1 Corinthians 11 it speaks of that. And it is fascinating. That is about going to the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 30, speaking about the way the Corinthians are mistreating each other and not recognizing the body of Christ. There's all the divisions and the factions. And then Paul says, this is why many among you are weak and ill and why a number of you have fallen asleep. It's because of the way you've been treating each other that this sin and sickness has come into your life. He says there are going to be times when we are prepared to draw that line between our suffering and our sin. Now, pastorally, of course, we've got to be extremely careful. There'd be nothing worse, would there, in a church community to start speculating when someone gets ill about what sin they've committed and whether they've faced up to it. And that is not the way to go. But this psalm does remind us that it is right. Sometimes God does allow sickness into our lives to make us examine our consciences and to examine our lives and to see whether there is something in our lives which we know is wrong and we need to repent of. We're not talking here about dragging up sins from the past. We're not talking about watching a little bit more tennis than you plan to do and something like that. We're talking about here things that call forth God's judgments in sexual sin, drunkenness, stealing, gossiping, bitterness, treating someone in an appalling way. And sometimes he allows sickness to bring us to our senses and to bring us to repentance. And it may well be tonight that as I speak, you know there are things in your life that you need to be turning from, even as we come together and come to the Lord's table. And it's striking, actually, as we go into Psalm 39, we see here in Psalm 38, sickness exposing sin and the reaction there. We're going to see in Psalm 39 that sickness forces us to think about the brevity of life. These two psalms working side by side. I think the psalm we first thought is about the compassion that we might have for others and giving us an insight in what it means to be sick. We thought for a few moments about the link between sin and sickness and how we need to be very carefully pastorally, but be open to examining our consciences and our lives when we do get sick, and of course, more generally, even as we come to the Lord's table. I think, thirdly, this just reminds us that we don't always think about our lives and our world in the same way that the Bible encourages us to think about our world and our lives. I think we look for simple explanations for everything that happens, usually in a kind of medical way, and those are helpful and help us with illness and diseases. But always in the Bible, God is seen as in control. Always, and all coming from his hand. It's a very different way of thinking about our worlds. And of course, fourthly, these psalms remind us that what we are to do in distress is go to him. What we are to do in distress, in any distress, is to go to him. If we have sinned, confess our sin. If we are struggling, go to him and ask for strength. If we do not know how to cope and we are overwhelmed, go to him. Learn and learn that again from David. If you're in a family situation, husbands, wives, you're struggling, go to Him together. Pray. And finally, I just want to reflect for a few moments as we look at this psalm to see the suffering of the Christ. In what sense is this a psalm that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ? In what sense is this His? Well, you're going to say, hang on, hang on, hang on. The Lord Jesus Christ did not sin. That this, in one sense, could never be His psalm. That He would never have to pray this psalm. And we're fighting, you know, we say this is one He doesn't pray, that is not the prayer of the Messiah. But I think it gives us insights into what He endured for us. Because yes, He did not sin, but what happened to Him? 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us. So that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, I think there is a sense in which this psalm belongs to Him because He took our sin, our shame and our guilt upon Himself and endured the suffering which we deserved. And it is very striking, some of the things here, which are suffering off the scale, aren't they? How many of us actually get abandoned by all our friends when we are sick, and we have a whole host of enemies trying to kill us? It's kind of suffering beyond, isn't it? And if that's happening to you, you need our prayers in all that sense. But it's kind of really, really strong. And as you look at it, you see the sufferings of the Messiah abandoned by His friends. You see His enemies wanting to destroy Him. You see one who was wounded. And it is very striking. They hated Me without reason. It's picked up in John 15 as the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of Himself. Twice that phrase comes in the Psalms. Once here, Jesus identifies Himself with this psalm. And this, of course, is fantastic news. It is amazing, isn't it? And I hope you never lose your sense of awe and wonder that the God, triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ with His Father, the one through whom and for whom the world was made, comes into this world, takes on flesh, and suffers for us, becomes sin for us, and dies upon a cross. It is staggering. And of course, we're coming to remember and rejoice in again this evening. Taking the punishment that we deserve, taking the wrath and the discipline that we deserve, so that what? So that we, when we are convicted of our sin, so that we, when we turn to Christ, because of His death for us, can be utterly assured of the forgiveness of our sins. Because Christ suffered for us, we can have complete and utter confidence. And the promise is good. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So come to the table. He may have been disciplining you. You may need to repent. But come. Come acknowledging your sin. And come at the invitation of the one who has died for you, who loves you, has taken your death and your judgments. And he wants you to know in the very depth of your being that you are accepted and loved, forgiven, adopted. And of course, as you leave this place later tonight, he wants you to go and live for him with joy and gratitude in your hearts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this psalm. We thank you for the openness and honesty of David. We thank you for all that teaches about the way that you disciplined him. We thank you for the way that teaches about the way that you poured your wrath out on the Lord Jesus Christ for us. We thank you, Lord, that you, in your love, will also discipline us to bring us to our senses. And we thank you for your love and for your mercy and for your kindness. In Christ's name, amen. Well, before we go to the Lord's table, let's stand and sing a paraphrase of the psalm itself.